I was thinking today, I was like, I need to call Nicole because we haven't talked in like
I know.
weeks at this point. And then I was like, you know what we should do? We should just make it a podcast and we should just do like a New Year,
Top of the
happy
year.
holidays, top of the year. How are we doing? How was the holidays? If anyone like hasn't listened to our podcast before or started midway through, maybe doesn't really know us, like it could be a good get to know us podcast too. But also
If
it's
you
just
were
like
not one of those like crazy people who, not crazy in a bad way, but like you didn't start from episode one and listen to all 100 episodes, even though you just started listening,
this is for
could be a good,
you.
yeah.
Yeah, because I saw you for your birthday and then left, and then it was literally Christmas, and then it was New Year's, and now it's now, and like we haven't really talked since.
I know.
And I always feel like that happens, especially when you go home to Chicago, because like you have places to go, people to see when you go home.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, I'll talk to Nicole when she's back. Like, communication is at an all-time low as soon as Nicole hops off the plane
I touch
in
down in
Chicago.
Chicago and like, don't call me, don't text me. I'm
Like,
busy.
don't call me, don't come to my house.
It's kind of ridiculous, but yeah. No, let's
I
definitely
mean, you
catch
don't
up.
live there anymore, but you grew up there and you have so many people that want to see you and spend time with you. Like, it's gotta be so hard. I would not know because I've always lived so close to where I'm from.
I'll tell you this. This year I was amazing and not overcommitting myself.
Incredible.
And I
Well, that's
like, you
crazy
know,
because
like,
every single time that I checked your location to be like, I wonder what Nicole's up to today because I'm not texting her. You were out and about. Like, I literally did not see your little guy at your house once.
well,
So
the
it's
thing
crazy.
is that I did a lot of things with my mom. So like I didn't really tell too many people that I was home, so like I saw the immediate friends who I
The
wanted to
usual
see, the
suspects.
usual suspects, exactly. And then my mom and I went to the movies a lot while I was home. We saw Wonka, we
Oh.
saw Iron Claw. It was really fun. And so I feel like I was just kind of doing things with my family this time around and
Cute.
like not so much trying to schedule 9 million different friend activities, which was
Yeah.
nice.
I feel like it's good too because I also feel like we both collectively did a really good job in 2023 of like seeing our friends.
Yeah.
I mean, it was helpful for me because I got married, so I like had different occasions where I was like,
Also helpful for me because all
yeah,
of my friends are your friends as well. So.
I like it was really helpful because I had like several occasions where I was like guaranteed to see friends, especially the friends that I don't see all the time, like my friends from college that I don't really get to see a ton. And like I saw some of them at my bachelorette party or my bridal shower or at the wedding, and it was like so nice to be like have that
Yeah.
time. But
Yeah.
I feel like that probably helped you going home too because some of your friends, like a lot of, I feel like a lot of your friends have visited you in New York this year, or you've seen them at my wedding stuff. So it
Right.
was easier to be, not be like, I haven't seen you since last year. We have to do things.
Right. Yeah, it was nice. I mean, 'cause I got home on Monday the 18th and then it was my birthday on Thursday. And so I worked Tuesday and Wednesday from home and then took Thursday, Friday off and then had off between Christmas and New Year. So it was nice. So I
Nice.
was like off for a full 2 weeks.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's hard to come back to work, let me tell
I
you. I know you
can
don't
only
have that problem.
imagine. I can't, couldn't be me, but I can totally imagine how hard that must have been for you. Meanwhile, I did not have off between Christmas and New Year's because I was working like a dog day and night to pack up my house.
I was gonna say to move, give me a
Yeah.
break.
It
And who put
was
it
hard
off?
work.
Did you
I
put it
didn't.
off?
No. We've been working for what? When was I supposed to do this? When we were in Vegas? When I was getting married? When I was getting married? When I was in Vegas? When I got home and got laid off and was just like depressed for a week?
Well,
And then when I went
you
to
could
New
have
York
pushed,
for.
you could have been unhealthy and pushed those feelings aside
I
and
could
not thought about
have.
them and
You're
instead
so right.
packed your house up.
You're so right. I should have been a little more mentally unwell. You're so right for that.
Just saying, do the Nicole method and
Next
just
time.
push it down and don't think about
Next time, I'll be sure to be a little more mentally
perfect.
Ill.
Perfect. Yeah, so it was nice to just kind of, I went out to dinner with my family on my birthday, and then Friday, my friends and I went to the Blackhawks game. Our friend Daniela, who you know, obviously, her dad has season tickets to the Hawks, and he graciously gifted us tickets to that game, so it was really fun, and they have tickets like two rows.
Oh, I thought they
the
were
glass.
Tories for some mm-mm. reason. I just assumed because
she's always
Tories
at
the
Hawks
games,
yeah. Richard gifted us those tickets, which was really fun. And it was really nice to just like see everyone and hang out. Big sports week for me. Because then my family and I, we have Bears season tickets. And so we went to the Bears game on Christmas Eve. My dad, fun. My brother, my sister and I, and we do that every year that they play. So,
No Pam?
No, we only have four tickets and we're like, Mom, like we can ask like our seatmates, like if they're coming, we can get you tickets. She's like, no, I don't really want to go. They suck. And we're like, all right, fair enough. So she stayed home, let the dog out, and then met us downtown at
my aunt's house. So who let the dogs out? Pam.
Yeah, it was. And then I literally didn't do anything. And it was so nice. My siblings were home for a little bit. We played video games. We just hung out. We watched movies. It was a very, very disconnected
week
that. For me.
I love that a lot. That's so fun.
How
lovely.
How was your unemployment time? Your first kind of week of unemployment?
Yeah. So unemployment has been a little
for those
hectic.
Of you who maybe,
oh, yeah, didn't
maybe
know.
Missed that announcement.
I got laid off. So I'm currently,
as is tradition,
as
in
is
the
tradition,
two girls one formula.
Someone has to get laid off once a year at least. So I am currently a full-time TGNF employee and making it my mission to make this a real thing this year so that I do not have to go back into corporate America because I physically can't do it. Don't want
to. Kicking, like dragging me, kicking and screaming.
Like I already didn't want to have my job before I lost it. And so like losing my job was actually pretty nice. I was like, thank God. I didn't want to do this anymore anyways.
You made the decision for me. Thank
you.
Yeah,
I'm like, thank you. And now I can collect unemployment. So thank God.
Which is congratulations to your first
layoff.
Your first season of unemployment.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank my bad decision-making skills when it comes to companies that I work for. I would love to take
you were there for like 2 years.
I
know. No,
I'd love to thank the downturn in the market and the fact that consumer packaged goods are just not really selling right now. So, and most of all, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God bless America.
God and Jesus, thank you.
Not only God, but God also Jesus. Jesus. yeah, so my last day of work was, I was in New York with you, so incredible time to finish my job. Didn't really have anything to do, and then got to spend really my first actual like unemployment days with you, which is a treat.
I mean, I did the same thing.
I know, we're always together when we get laid off. How fun.
The universe is like, how many times do I have to show you guys that you are meant to work together?
Be
like you
working.
Should
you just need to work together on your passion. But yeah, so then the week after, so Nick and I had to move out of the place we were staying before because my parents are renovating their house. And so they are moving into the rental property that we were staying in. But luckily, my aunt and uncle have a condo the town next door, and they live in Arizona for the winter, and they come to the Cape in the summer. So we're staying in their condo for the next couple months, which is so nice. It's so much bigger than our place. So we were like, this is delicious. but we had to like pack so much stuff. I gave so much stuff away. Some lucky soul that's shopping at the Goodwill in Hyannis, Massachusetts will be getting so much OG vintage TGNF merch. Like the amount of stuff that I have just hoarded. I'm like,
yeah, no,
it's
same.
Faded. It doesn't really fit me anymore. Like, it's like I had so many like sweatshirts from when we first started. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I like my sweatshirts huge now. Like, yeah. I like them so oversized. And I don't know what my deal was back then, but I was like, what if I got smalls? Like,
I know.
Nobody wants a small sweatshirt anymore. Like, why did they do that? So I like, and I also was like, I literally own the store. Like, I could rebuy this.
We could just get another one if we want. Yeah.
I really decided that I want the OG LeClaire University, like, varsity sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. So I got rid of so much stuff, which is so nice. I'm horrible at throwing. Same. I am a hoarder to, like, the nth degree. And Nick really just kind of found it out. He was like, Kate, what? Why? Why do you have all this stuff? Like, what is this? He's like, I haven't seen you wear this ever. And I was like, but what if I want it? And he's like, throw it out. But I'm really bad because also, like, I go through my closets every now and again and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to, you know, clean this out. And I get together, like, a whole bag of stuff to donate. Yeah. That's where it ends, though. I don't actually bring it anywhere to donate.
I have a bag sitting in this room that's just clothes that I cleaned in, like, September.
I'm pretty sure I went through all that stuff.
I have not bought it.
I'm like, I just don't bring it to actually donate. And so I just have it and have just, like, bags and bags and bags of stuff that I'm like, I haven't worn this in 4 years. Or even better and even more classic is that I have, like, bags of stuff that I'm like, I'm going to sell these because they're really nice. Like, I have a bunch of, like, dresses that are, like, White House Black Market. Just, like, nice stuff.
But stuff that you're not.
But I'm. It's not me anymore. Yeah. And so I'm like, I'll sell them because I could make some money off of them. But I never do. And I just have to be I've made a Poshmark account probably 10 times. I've gone in and updated it. I've made a Depop account. I've made, like, all of the different accounts that you could sell things. And I never do it because I'm like, realistically, I'm not going to do this. So I finally had to be like, Kate, you're not going to do this. Just get rid of them. So I finally went to Goodwill and dropped off, like, 7 bags of shit. And I was like, I can't believe all of that stuff was in my house. Oh, my God. So we've just thrown out, like, everything that we own, essentially. And then in between the madness, we went back to Quebec City for our second annual trip to Quebec City for the New Year's time period. We actually went for New Year's this year, which is so fun. And my brother and his girlfriend came, which was, like, really fun because David and I have never done anything like that together without
your parents.
Yeah, it's always, like, a family trip, which is really fun, but it felt very different in the fact that we were choosing to go on a trip together. Which was so fun and just really special. I love it up there. I love it up there so much. So you'll come next year and we'll show you all around.
Finally.
It was just, like, so fun. There's something just very special and magical about that place. It just a place where I feel like I can actually just, like, relax eating and walking around. And, like, I never feel guilty about just being like, you know, I'm going to call it a night and go back to the hotel and lay in bed and read or watch a movie or watch TV thing, which was just, I needed it. And then got back, finished our move. And today is my first day of really not having anything to do. So I've just been, I don't know, living my life. I'm Courtney Kardashian. My vibe is just living.
Just living life.
So that's where I'm at. But
I really love this for you. I'm jealous.
I know. I was talking to our friend Lily Herman today, and we were talking about something, and I was like, I just, like, feel like I'm, like, floating in the void right now because I just am, like, I don't want to do anything and I'm not doing anything. And I'm just, like, I have no, like, goals or ambitions right now. Like, I'm just truthfully floating in the void. I'm, like, in purgatory. I'm, like, this is just, I don't know. I feel like an amoeba just vibing. However, I do want to circle back because you said that you and Pam went to the movies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Nick and I have been going to the movies every Tuesday.
Yeah, you guys have really been on.
We're on a movie kick, which movie journey. Is big for me because the movie I do not traditionally like the movie theater.
I didn't know that actually.
You didn't? Oh, it's no. Like one of my biggest.
I know you like to watch movies points. At home, so I didn't know that that was
the movie theater is actually like a huge source of anxiety for me. I do not like to be in dark, crowded places where there are not very many exits. And where I cannot see people's faces. I have a
America
lot of
trauma.
America trauma. But like even before the whole
all of it
happened, like I just have never loved the idea of, first of all, I'm afraid of the dark, so movie theaters are tough anyways. You don't see anyone's faces. People are sketchy. They're like going in and out. There's like janitors that will just like walk across, and I'm like, who are mm-hmm. you people and what are you doing? Like, what are your plans here? What are your intentions in this movie theater right now? Because I don't really trust you and I don't trust anything. And the only exits are at the front, fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah.
Especially when obviously the best seats are towards the back in yeah. the middle.
Yeah.
That's not a good place to be if you need a quick exit. So movie theaters are not my favorite place. I get like really, really anxious there. But we found a pretty good one on the Cape. I'm actually not going to say where it is because I don't want anyone to be able to go to it because now that you know that I'm afraid. But it's a really nice one and no one's ever there.
Yeah.
And it's really small. So I like have been trying like reacclimating myself into
exposure therapy.
I'm facing
your
my
exposure therapying yourself. Yeah. And like we're facing our fears
yeah.
this year.
I've decided that my word of the year is embracing.
Okay.
Love. Or like embrace. Mm-hmm. That is my how I want to live my life, whether that's embracing your fears. Mm-hmm. And just being like, okay, this is what making me afraid right now. I'm going to embrace it and let myself feel it and like work through it. Or mm-hmm. embracing passions or things that make you happy and just embracing things to put action to it. And like,
yeah.
I feel like I just really want to, instead of just being like, oh, I love this thing and I like, you know, like consuming content about it or whatever, I want to like then do it and not mm-hmm. just be like, oh, I wish I could do that, but embrace it. Embrace an interest of mine and do it.
I think it's also like embracing the uncomfortableness of like not necessarily being good at it right out of the gates.
Horrible,
right?
For me. Yeah.
You and I hate that. So mm-hmm. I think it's, and I've really
hate to be bad at things.
Enjoyed my watercolor journey because I am not good at it. But I like,
I think you really are.
Thank you. I don't, I'm not award winning by any means, stretch of the means, but I just, I really love, I just like the freedom that it gives me. And like,
yeah.
I'm like, who cares? I'm doing this for myself. I'm not doing
exactly.
it for anyone else. And so embracing that, like, I don't have to be good at anything right mm-hmm. out of the gates is very important for me this year as well.
I love that. I really do. Yeah. I've just been like, you know, I get into rabbit holes of like mm-hmm. things that I'm interested in. And so I want not only just like enjoy other people doing it, but give it a try if I feel yeah. like it's something that like I might enjoy. So like if I am like, I mean, I went through a whole period of time where I was really into like cookie decorating on Instagram and like
who could forget?
Really into it.
Should you also get into making slime, Mimi?
I never made it. See, that's the thing is like I have these things that I love to watch and like, you know, consume. And so like I think that if I get another thing like that, I just am going to try it out. Like I'm going to
yeah.
do something like that. And this is a little known fact for people listening. I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but I was a ballerina for 15 years. So the first half of my life, I did dance 4 times a week. And it was a huge integral part of who I was growing up. And I've just found myself desperately missing it. I mean, I go to the Nutcracker every year. I just love ballet. I think it's so beautiful and so expressive. I love it. And I yeah. have just been inundated with ballet content on social media, watching people and just being like, wow, I miss this so much. It was just so formative for me. And so I decided that instead of just watching it, I'm going to embrace that interest and that passion, that joy of mine, and I'm going to do something about it. And so I did sign up for an adult ballet class. I have not yet. I did register. They haven't gotten back to me, and it's supposed to start tomorrow. So TBD on if I'll actually be doing it. However, I took the step, and I ordered all this stuff for it, and I'm, like, so excited. And I'm, like, again, so worried because I did dance for 15 years, but it's also been
15 years.
Basically that amount of time since I've had any formal lesson. So I'm going to be rusty as hell, but who cares? I'm just going to like do it to have fun.
Why be upset?
When you could just,
have fun.
Like, I was sitting there and I was like, this gives me a lot of joy to watch, but it also makes mm-hmm. me like nostalgic and like kind of sad that I don't do this anymore. And I was like, instead of just sitting in my nostalgia, I'm going to just do it again. And like, why would I just like sit there and be like, oh, I miss this, or oh, I wish I could do this. Like, I'm going to embrace it and just do it. So like, embracing is, I feel like, what, how I want to like live my life this year.
I love it.
Embracing opportunities, embracing fears, embracing traumas, embracing everything, and just like moving forward.
You know, I think, and that's a theme too, for, as obviously I have moved into my 30th year and you're coming up on your 30th birthday as well, you know, really just kind of embracing this new decade of life and what that means for us, and kind of who we have been the past 30 years. And I'm kind of tired of pretending to be someone that I'm not, or for the sake of other people. And so, again, embracing myself and embracing like things that I like to do, and like saying, fuck it, I wasted too much time like trying to impress other people on things. And so I'm going to do what I want to do now.
Amen, sis. With us. Two girls coming into their own at 30 years old.
Watch
it's never
out,
too
world.
Late. It's never too late to be yourself.
Never.
So, or to reinvent yourself. Like, and I also feel like it's not always, oh, I'm learning to be myself. Everyone else that you've been, they're all different, just like versions of yourself. But we're allowed to evolve and grow and, again, embrace those past selves. But also embrace the like evolution that comes with just like getting older and growing up and learning and changing. And, you know, sometimes when I think we grow, when we change.
I don't know if people ever really grow or change. I think we stay the same.
One thing about us that will stay the same is we will always bring it back. We'll always bring it back to Bridesmaids.
We're always quoting Bridesmaids, matter of fact.
What movies have you seen though? Sorry, we're just gonna keep
we're tying the threads circular. From everywhere.
Yeah.
So in the past couple of weeks, I've seen Wonka.
I saw that.
I've seen Ballad of Snakes and Songbirds. Mm-hmm. I've seen Iron Claw. I've seen Anyone But You, and I have recently seen a Bollywood movie called Dunki. And so I saw a bunch of movies in the past like month or so, and I love going to the movies. You don't like it, but I love it.
You know what? I'm getting there. I mean, I love the snacks. I love the vibe of just like having snacks and watching a movie always. And the movie theater that I found carries Bunch of Crunch, which I don't know if you know this.
Love.
I don't know if you know this, but I really thought that I thought they were out of business.
So did I.
Because they're not at any movie theaters. I've been to movie theaters in the past few years and I've never found them. So I'm like, obviously, why would I come to the movie theater now?
Yeah.
I get anxiety and there's no Bunch of Crunch. What's the point? But this place has Bunch of Crunch. And so I was like, okay, I'm sold. That's perfect. A sign. What did you think of Wonka? I want to talk about the movies that we've both seen.
I really loved it. I had so much fun. Like, it was so full of whimsy.
Yeah.
And I just, like, left it feeling so joyful. And I went in having zero expectations about it. Like, I don't even know if I really watched the trailer. I was just like, I love Timothée Chalamet. And I
love chocolate.
Exactly. And I know that this is going to be, like, a fun, cute movie to see.
Yeah.
I was like, I had heard, like, I mean, Timmy's been nominated for a Golden Globe for his role. You know, I think he might be Oscar nominated for it. And so, like, the buzz was really good. And I was like, all right, you know what? Everyone kind of made fun of him in the trailers. And everyone was kind of like this goofy-ass motherfucker, like Willy Wonka.
Like, but it's so classic.
And I watched a lot of his press too, and he was just like, I'm only making movies for kids from now on. Like, I had so much fun. Like, I loved seeing all of the children's reactions. Like, he just had so much fun. And I think it really just reminded me that, like, at his core, he is a theater kid. And, like,
he wants to be in sing and dance. He wants to do the whole dog and pony show.
He can be dating Kylie Jenner, and he can be, like, the cool it guy, but, like,
he's a theater kid at heart. Yeah, like, there's no denying it. No, I thought it was really fun. I have never, like, loved Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka. Like, I liked the Gene Wilder one. That one is, like, fine. Mm-hmm. Hated the Johnny Depp one. Oh, my God. Yeah. Hated it.
I don't think I've seen it past the one time I watched it.
Yeah, like, no. But here's my constructive criticism on Wonka. Is I thought it was really, really fun. And I, like, I mean, it's on its own, I really enjoyed it. However, I thought it was all, and just let me explain the whole thing before you react.
Okay.
I felt like it was all a bit much in the fact that, like, in the Gene Wilder, like, the original one, everyone is, like, not normal per se. Like, everyone has, like, kind of their quirks, but everyone is very kind of, like, bland. Like, everyone is, like, generally a normal human. And the thing that is so magical about Willy Wonka himself is how eccentric he is and how, like, full of life and, like, how extraordinary the chocolate factory is and he is in his imagination. Whereas I felt like in Wonka, everyone was kind of over the top and this, like, caricature of these people. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it almost took away a little bit of the magic of, like, who Willy Wonka would turn into. And I was like, I kind of wish that it was, like, this story of this kid that was always just eccentric and a caricature and, like, larger than life, where I'm like, there's a person named Noodle. There's, like, it just felt like everything was heightened, which, like, I get it. And I feel like we're in, like, a movie stage for, like, of kids movies where, like, everything is like that. And so, like, it's like they kind of felt like they had to. But I wish, personally, if I had directed this movie or been in charge, I would have had everyone, like, a little bit more dialed down and had him just there. So it, like, really, you could see the.
Yeah. Like, more character. So, like, Olivia Colman's characters, like, I feel like very drab, very kind of.
Yeah. Like, it was like the other chocolatiers. I was like, they feel like Willy Wonka. Like, they feel so.
Just evil.
Characteristic. Yeah. But, like, are they evil? I don't know. They were so weird. And then, like, I don't know. I think I was just like, I wanted everything to be a little less so that he would shine more as, like, this eccentric person. But that's just my own personal
constructive criticism. And I think that that's pretty valid.
Thank you. We also have differing opinions on the Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
Where.
No, I don't know.
Generally the same, but I feel like there's, like, one sticking point for me that you just don't agree with.
I mean, overall, I probably won't be watching that movie again. Like, I just didn't think it was that compelling. I didn't think the story was good. I don't think that the plot line was interesting. And I think that it was 3 hours and very little. We learned very little.
A lot shorter.
And so I was like, okay, fantastic. I just, like, even talking about it now, I'm like, what were the points that I didn't even like? Because it was so non-memorable.
I feel like there was, like, it tried to do too much, but it also did too little.
Yeah. Like, they, I was like,
too much happened, but they didn't, like, dig into, like, the minute things that, like, made a difference.
Yeah. I was like, there's so many more interesting things we could have looked at in terms of President Snow's youth than whatever this is that we're learning about. Like, it was fine. But you didn't like Rachel Zegler's acting.
It was, I understand the character of Lucy Gray. Here's the thing, is this is the sticking point between you and I, is, like, I understand the character and, like, what she serves, like, the purpose that her character serves in the story and, like, who she is as a character. I just did not like Rachel Zegler specifically. Like, I felt like she was, again, I'm gonna use this word, I used it for Wonka, but, like, she was just, like, a caricature. Like, I didn't like her accent threw me, and I was like, I get it, like, I get that she's probably supposed to have this accent, but like she was just like so much. She was, and this is like her background, but she was so musical theater about the whole thing.
Again, a theater kid.
I was like, oh my God. Like, I feel like I'm watching She's on Broadway and he's in a movie. And I'm like, they're just, it just like didn't meld together. And I just felt like it was, she was very like, I don't know, just too much where I was like, I get the character, but also like.
And my counterpoint to Kate's reaction was that she was putting on the show. And that was the whole point, is that she was supposed to be like that. And you were supposed to feel that contrast between the two of them, but Kate still says no.
It's like, I get it. I think if another actor did it, like maybe I would like it more, but like I just, her as the character,
fine. Really, I'm not, I mean, like she's not my favorite actress around, so it's like I don't really care.
I just am like, it was just a little much. However, I think Tom Blythe did a great job, and I wish for his sake we would have gotten more about his character and like more, because I was also just like, oh, he's evil now. Like, I guess he was the whole time. However, like, yeah, what happened here? Like, what happened here? He was like, I love you. And then he was like, what if I hunted you in the woods? And I was like, what's going on? Like, there was just like no development of any of the actual like emotions. Like, I feel like it was, what's happening here?
Yeah. And again, I don't know if that was the point, but it just, it wasn't something that I cared for, to be honest.
I also wish that we got more of Hunter Schafer and like development into the Tigress character, because she's so crucial to the story in Hunger Games. Like at the end, like she's literally the person that like saves them and helps them to the end goal. And she's like, oh yeah, he's my cousin, but he doesn't love, he like thought I got too ugly for him. But like, there was literally no mention of any of that. Like, she didn't, like, I just wish we got, like, some connecting, because, we got, she was like, I'm going to be a designer. And she, like, just, like, basically makes his clothes into versions that look like designer clothes then, so that he can fit in at this, like, school that he goes to, which I get. But I was also, like, I just felt like there was, like, no other real, like, connection to the later stories. And I almost wish that we had done something there had been more like at the end of like a here's what happened in the middle. I don't know. It was like, it was fine.
I'll tell you, the best movie I watched was Iron Claw. I loved it so much.
We're going to that next week.
Prepare yourself. I cried very hard at the end, and I didn't stop crying for several hours.
Great.
Madeline. It absolutely broke me, but awesome. In a very good way. Like, I have not stopped thinking about it since I saw it last Thursday. So.
Okay, wow. Okay, I'm excited. Yeah, we, last week, I think it was, we decided between Iron Claw and Ferrari and decided to go to Ferrari. The world's largest mistake. It was so bad. It was so bad. I'm like so upset about it.
And
my mom was
like, well, do you want to go see Ferrari? And he said, no, everyone's been saying it's awful. I was not spending my money on it.
Like a personal affront to me. Like, I'm like upset about how bad it was.
That's so disappointing, because there was so much hype around that movie. And like, obviously, Adam Driver, we love Adam Driver. And like,
he was good. Like, as he
Ferrari
was.
Ferrari fans, like, I was excited about it. But I just think, I haven't heard one positive review about this film.
I will say he was good. Good, not great. It was not his best role, but like, he was fine in the role. Penelope Cruz was incredible. I hope she gets nominated for stuff, because she was the saving grace of that movie. She was so good.
What about
so
Shailene
good.
Woodley?
Ariana, what are you doing here? Like, let me tell you that after the movie, I had to Google, I looked at Nick and I said, where was she supposed to be from? Like, he met her during the war, and like, they've had an affair since he met her in the war, but like, where was she from? Like, where was he stationed? And he's like, Italy, Kate. She's, all of them are Italian. And I was like, that's the accent she was trying to do was Italian. It was so bad. Nick was like, she was the worst part of the movie. Her Italian accent was, Nick was cringing. She was like, not great. But it was like, there were parts of the movie that were like done well. I mean, like mm-hmm. the acting was fine. And like this, it was just like, there wasn't really a plot. And okay. like, I get that it's a biopic, but there's a way to do a biopic where you like, it just felt like there was no purpose to like the yeah. time period that they selected, because mm-hmm. there were like several different conflicts happening. But I feel like they couldn't decide which conflict was the one they kind of really wanted to focus on. But there was also no lead up to be like, this is why this is a conflict. Like, there's this big race that they race in at the end, and it's like the big conclusion. Mm-hmm. And then they like barely even talk about it after. And like, it just like moves into this other thing. And then there's like his whole like affair and like illegitimate son is like this big thing. And then like, nothing is really talked about it. Like, it's not like really totally like, it was just like, it was again, they tried to do too much, but also did not enough at all. There was just like all these plot points, but they dug into none of them. Great. And I was just like,
which this is why so tough. I'm so over these kind of like very serious, like wannabe Oscar nom movies, because yeah. it's like, you're trying to do too much and you're not doing enough.
It's
like, I also watched Saltburn over, and
I just feel like that is gonna pinpoint my anxiety. That just feels like a movie that I would not enjoy.
I don't know though, because it's very much giving Good for Her. It's people on the internet are like, wow, that was the most unhinged movie I've ever seen. And then I watched it and I was expecting so much. And then I was kind of like, okay. I think you should watch it and give it a try. Like, I don't think it was, for me, the worst part was some secondhand embarrassment. It was not like,
see, that's what I hate. That's
inducing.
That's what induces my anxiety. I can't stand secondhand embarrassment. I can't stand when people make bad choices that I'm like, I'm cringing.
But the thing is it wasn't necessarily like bad choices. So like, the thing is it's kind of looks at like classism. Mm-hmm. And so it's like secondhand embarrassment from that standpoint. Where sometimes he says things and everyone is just like, what the fuck are you saying? And so you're kind of like, fantastic. But I don't, it's not like overarching.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, Carly was like, my birthday party theme is Saltburn formal. And I was like, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what this is. So I'll just be really going in
rich English countryside manner.
I don't have anything 2006. Like that.
In 2006.
I don't have anything like that.
Rich person aesthetic 2006 is what you're going for.
What, three popped collars? Try to dress up as Paris Hilton. Don't be poor.
Stop being poor.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, we'll have that movie was really good, but it didn't try and do too much. Like, it the story was minimal. There were five characters, like, you got to know them very well. Like, it moved at a good enough pace and it kept me intrigued the entire time.
Yeah. You know what? Hollywood just needs to embrace not doing too much.
Long story short,
don't do anything. Be like me and don't do anything.
Did you read any books while you were
on break? Well, I'm doing my ACTAR reread.
Oh, okay.
So I'm still on Miss and Fury because, like, I just haven't really had time to sit down and read. And I drove to Canada and back. So, like, Nick had, like, 8 hours each way to read. So he's already on Frost and Starlight. Like, he's crushing it right now. Like, he is crushing it. But I'm still on Miss and Fury. But now that I have nothing to do, I'll be getting through those ahead of our summit.
Good.
Yeah, it's just, like, so nice to read it again. And it's so nice being with Nick while he's reading for the first time. I'm, like, feeling the feels that I did when we read the first time. Like, it's just so fun.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I've been reading.
I'm excited for him to finish Frost and Starlight so he can read my favorite ACOTAR book, Silver Flames.
I know. Eager
for his opinions.
Oh, my God. Him reading the end of Wings and Ruin. incredible. Like the war portion.
Yeah.
Incredible. It was so much fun. Every time he was like, I think I know what's going to happen. And it was like, it was so great. He's just like, no, no, no. Like just all of the commentary has been
I'm dead.
Good.
It's been really fun to have him kind of FaceTime me
He's locked in. He's loving it too.
I know. He's really enjoying it,
which makes me really happy.
I mean, we knew he would.
We knew we would. Everyone does.
It just takes a little bullying.
It does. People don't want to hop on the bandwagon after so long. But I think it's having a resurgence right now because I've seen so many people on social media that I follow that have read it recently. And they're like, finally read this. And I'm like, yeah, finally.
Finally. Welcome to the club. We've only been asking.
We've only been begging you to read this.
Please. I'm halfway through Iron Flame right now. So.
Okay. Oh, Iron Flame. You were. Mm-hmm. Damn. Okay. It got you.
I finished Fourth Wing already. It was a slow start and I was really fucking annoyed.
It's the beginning of any like fantasy book. I know, dude. It's always like that. We have this conversation with every single new series we start. And the
thing is, I still find myself being annoyed, but I think there were so many parts at the beginning that were so much more annoying as she was like building it. And I still take issue with some of the parts of the world because I'm like, you have mentioned this 0 times.
Yeah.
And now you're throwing it in here and there is no context.
I know.
So sometimes I just like read past bullshit. I'm like, I don't fucking know what that means. And I'm not going to pretend to. Like, I'm just cruising. Just give me the romance. I'm like, I'll just want to read about this. And then there's so many characters where I'm like, you just brought them up. For what? Who is this person?
Yeah, so, there are a lot of characters.
Like, we don't need to have this many characters in the flight school, okay? Like, I don't have to know 15,000 people's names, okay?
Well, we don't have to do this because half of them die. So don't learn anyone's names. That's the rule.
I'm just like, oh my God, okay, another one, another one.
I know.
And then there's so many of their, like, core squad, too, that I'm like, I can't even keep them straight sometimes.
I know. Yeah, there are a lot of people. However, I do like really enjoy like the story itself. And I felt like
I would love it as much as I think ACOTAR if I understood the world and the politics a little bit better. Like I would be so invested. I would be like, yes. But I'm like, I don't understand the territories. I don't understand how long this war has been going on. I don't understand, like, why really they made this partnership with the dragons. I'm like, the thing with me is we've talked about this before in, say, Blood and Ash. Like, Poppy is always asking questions because she doesn't know anything, right? And so, like, she's the narrator and she doesn't know anything. However, Violet has been trained as a scribe and lived in the archives for her entire life. I'm like, this bitch knows everything.
Yeah.
She's constantly talking about facts. So like, and again, I get that they're kind of like rewriting history, but like, I should at least have an understanding of like the boundaries and kind of why things are happening. And that's kind of what's pissing me off is I'm like, I want to be invested and I want to care so much about this, but like, you're not giving me enough.
I know. It is really hard. There's like just a lot. And I felt like, I'm like, you needed a glossary. You needed like a some sort of like glossary of this book, like a quick history lesson for all of us.
I would have loved like, and that's why I think Sarah does really well. She really weaves.
She the weaves it in so it's not
things.
like yeah.
Yeah. It's not like laid out for you. It's like it happens so naturally in conversations. And I think that's what's lacking in this book is like.
I think she tried to make it so like obsession worthy. Like she tried to get the action going quickly and like she tried to like have things start happening, which I appreciate because I also felt like the first half was kind of tough, but I also was like, more is happening in this first half of this book than like in a lot of the other series that I read. Like,
I know
there's a lot going on, so I'm already kind of like locked in on like the storyline, but there wasn't a ton of world building where I'm like, okay, back up. Like, yeah. How does this, the number of times I had to flip back to the fucking screen with like how the wings and the like things are set up. I was like, I don't understand. Fourth wing tail section claw?
I was like, I don't know where I'm at. I'm struggling to understand.
I don't know where I'm at. Where am I? Who's where? Who's ahead of?
I'm also like, why is this important?
Yeah,
why is this important?
Yeah, and I'm like, is it though?
I don't care so much about the formation of this. I care more about like the roles and responsibilities of the government and like how the lands are broken out and like.
Yeah,
I'd love to learn a little bit more about the revolution. We don't really talk about the uprising at all. Mm-mm. It just kind of happened, and I'm like, can we maybe get a little oral history about like how it started, like you know, what was really the fighting about, like anything.
Yeah.
Would love to hear more about that. So that's kind of where my beef lies at the moment. And that was always my beef too with fanfic writers on the internet, is that they just jump right in. There's no lead up. You're just jumping right in. And I'm like, hello, can we get
background info, please?
Any background, any scene setting, please. So Rebecca Yarros, please. I'd love some context. I do like Violet. I do like Zayden. Like, I do. Yeah. I enjoy their.
I like actually think that Violet is one of my favorite like female main characters in books that we've read. I find her far less annoying than others, especially in the first book.
100%.
The second book, I'm like, oh my god. At some point, I'm like, stop fucking complaining. Just get over it. Just get
literally.
Over it.
Literally, like, and again, I understand that it's a plot point. I know that it's, we have to move the plot along, and like, she can't give us what we want right away. Yeah. Right? There has to be some sort of chasm between the two of them. But I'm like, oh my god.
I'm also like, okay, they're children. Like, they're
they're not though. They're 21 and 24.
Let's think of where your brain was at that age.
I guess
the choices I made, 13. Not good. What?
It's not like Percy Jackson where they're 13 and 14.
But I'm like, I don't know. So I tried to, like, but however, at her core, I really like her as.
I will. Yeah,
I also think that she is very much, she is who she appears to be. And I feel like in some other books, they're like so in their head all the time, but like do opposite things than what like they're thinking and like are always kind of playing games. And I'm like, she's just doing what she does. And I appreciate that.
I do really appreciate it. I like that she's not so much like a pick me. I like that she's not like, I appreciate that she's like, yeah, I understand that I have this weakness, but like, I'm going to make the most of it. And like, I think at some points it's nice for her to acknowledge that she's like, yeah, I have this kind of thing that's going against me, but like, the people around me are here to support me, and like that's so nice and helpful. And so there are a lot of redeeming qualities about her. And again, it's not so much about the characters, it's about the context that I have issue with. So that's where I'm at. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm cruising through it. I'm gonna crush it probably by the end of this weekend. So
incredible.
I need something, and then I'll probably reread Crescent City before we go into the final weeks.
I know. I really need to get down to business on ACTAR because I want to reread Crescent Cities too. Like, I want to reread
Crescent Cities. I need to get back in. I need to start thinking about my summit. TED Talk.
For everyone listening, we obviously, you know, we are number one Sarah J. Maas stans in this house. So we are obviously so excited for the new Crescent City book coming out. So we have forced all of our friends who've read any of the Sarah J. Maas books to read all of them, every single series. And we are doing a summit where we are renting a house and we are going to this house for several days. We'll be doing keynote presentations. One of our friends so far is going to be presenting on Jessica from Crescent City, who she is, theories on her background and who she might be. I will be doing, I forget what I said I was going to do.
I said that I was going to look at the SJM men and categorize them into boy bands and who they would be in their boy bands. But I'd also, I think I'm also going to do a keynote on Azriel and his background.
Nice.
And who I think his parents are.
Love that. I am doing a fun one on what each Sarah J. Maas main character's Night Changes date would be.
Mm, love that.
I think it'll be pretty fun. And then I want to do one that's a little more like conspiracy theory-esque, yeah. But I don't know what yet. But I'm like, I'm so excited. I just am so excited. Like, I have a schedule, like a programming schedule. Like, every day it's going to start at like 3 p.m. Eastern, so that our West Coast friends, it's at noon. Mm-hmm. And everyone will have an hour for their keynote, so we can like do a keynote and have a little discussion, and then we'll have a little break, and then it'll be, and we'll just have programming throughout the evening. I might find some fun TikToks, like theory TikToks, like have everyone mm-hmm. send a few, so we can just like watch those for a couple mm-hmm. hours. Like, we're having programming, like we're having a schedule. This will be an actual conference. This is, and I will be keeping us on schedule.
Everyone's getting name tags.
But I do think it would be really fun for everyone that is, everyone gets like a court and mm-hmm. like, or, and we can add in like Crescent City, and we can mm-hmm. add in Terrison, and we can add mm-hmm. in like those places as like locations. And we basically just like divide them up for people, and everyone has to bring like a drink and like a food based on like something, just so we can do like all little themes. Maybe we'll live stream some of our Tuesday. Nick was like, how many days do we think it's going to take us to read the new Crescent City? And I was like, no, that's Tuesday. Wake up, read. Have a snack, read. Take a drink of water, read. Go to the bathroom, read. Like, you're reading all day. We are staying until the routine is clean and the book is done. I won't be going to bed until I've finished it.
I'm so excited.
These eyes.
I'm so excited.
Taped up until the book is done. Like, I also did I made a schedule, like a reading schedule.
I love it.
Because I was like, it would be really fun. Because I was talking to Carly about like the program of events for the summit mm-hmm. and like how we'll schedule it. And I was like, it would be really fun if like at midnight on Monday, when like the book officially comes out, we all like download it, but we don't start reading. We like get together and we whiteboard theories. And like mm-hmm. we just like put down all of our thoughts about like our like – guesses about what's going to happen in the book mm-hmm. and then we go to bed and we wake up early, grab some coffee, and like all start reading at the same time, and then we have like checkpoints throughout the day, like, okay, you should be done with like, basically give ourselves like 75 pages an hour, so like after 2 hours we meet for a half hour and like talk about what's happened, and we go back to reading for like 2 hours and whatever. And I did, if we read for 2 hours and then had a half hour little break check-in meeting, it would take us, if we started I think at 8 or 9:30 in the morning, it would take us until about 3:30 the next morning to finish the whole book.
I bet. I love it. I'm obsessed.
I was like, funny. It'll be good because we'll have, but I also was like, you have to read up until this page number, so if you read early, if you finish early, take a break. It's like you finish, but you don't go past it because we're going to meet about those, and you can't go past because you can't give anything away. And if you finish early, great. You can take a shower. You can go in a hot tub if we have one. You can grab a snack. You can get other people snacks if they're still reading, but you do not go past the assigned numbers. So we are all on the same schedule.
It was so funny because I was talking to Kenny and I was like, he was like, oh, like, you know, like what if we did kind of like an upstate weekend like at the end of January, and I was like, he's like maybe like that went Tuesday, Wednesday, like we just and I said, so sorry, actually I won't be reachable.
You're like, I actually
week.
Will be upstate. I will be having an upstate trip, but not
he's
with you.
So sorry, actually you, that's when my book is coming out. He's like, oh my god. And I said, you don't get it.
You don't get it. So sorry, I'll be upstate.
I was like, yeah, I actually will be upstate already because I have a retreat. I have a
summit scheduled.
Well, also it was funny because he was like, well, what's worse, would you rather have me have been in an a cappella group or be into LARPing? And I said, well, that's really hard to say because I'm really into LARPing right now. And so, like, I was like, honestly, we're gonna be LARPing at this. I was like, we're gonna be LARPing at the summit. Like, we're gonna be cosplaying.
We literally are. Like, everyone has to come in costume.
And he's like, that's so embarrassing. And I was like, no, it's not.
Speaking of, I can't stop thinking of Come Come on the Kick Drum Kenny from me. I like can't stop.
Which is so funny. I was thinking about
on the kick drum. Come Come on the Kick Drum Kenny.
I was thinking about how this, our first episode back last year, I was like, hey guys, I just want to announce that I have a boyfriend. And then like 3 weeks later, I was like, hey guys, sorry, broke up. Anyway, we're back together.
New year, new Nicole.
Can I see? Literally so funny. That's me, babes. But yeah, it just literally, I was like, well, I'm into LARPing. I was like, also, Kate and Nick almost had a joint bachelorette party at the Renaissance Fair, and we were all going to have to come in costume. So
obviously, I would rather you have been into LARPing. I
obviously 100%. Would have loved you to be in LARPing, to be honest.
I'm honestly disappointed that you're not. It's honestly a letdown that you're not. It's a letdown that you're in an acapella group, and it's a letdown that you're not into LARPing. So it's a lose-lose for you here. Any way you put it, you're losing in this conversation.
He's gonna be mad because he was like, the other day, he was like, oh, like, I'll listen to the podcast, because he hasn't listened to the podcast. And if he listens to the most recent one, it's just gonna be us being like, Kenny, you're a fucking loser because you don't like LARPing. He's gonna be like, okay, never listening again. That's fine.
I lose my number. Take my number out of your unique listener account.
Okay, wait. Hold on. Circling back to Percy Jackson, are you watching?
Yeah, but I've only watched the first two episodes.
Okay.
Because I've been busy. But I think we're going to watch the third one tonight.
Well, there's two more out now.
So the third and fourth. Yeah. But I loved the first two. I'm like so excited. And you know that David is like number one Percy Jackson stan. Like, yeah, number one. I was talking to someone today about it. Like, so Percy Jackson was essentially David's Harry Potter. Like, mm-hmm. It was like the first series that he ever read by himself that he loved. He loves the author Rick Riordan. He made my mom take him to meet Rick Riordan in person once to like meet him and get his autograph. And he's read every single Rick Riordan book that's ever come out.
He's one just time, like
real. One time he went to Italy on like a school trip. And this is back when like you couldn't like call someone from a different country. It was like cost a shit ton of money to call someone. And David called Kira from Italy to tell her that he was looking at the boat from one of the Percy Jackson books. Like, he loves these, and he was hated the movies, obviously, mm-hmm. Was so disappointed. So he has been skeptical, to say the least, about the show. Like, yeah. He was like, I'm not excited about it. I don't trust it. I don't think it's going to be good. Like, it looks like it'll be better than the movies, at least, but, like, I'm not getting my hopes up. Like, he takes these very seriously, and he loves it.
Oh, so, thank God. Okay. I was like waiting on bated breath to hear what David's review of it was, because I know
he's really liking it.
And obviously, I attempted to read the first, I got like 3/4 of the way through over my unemployment mm-hmm. on the Cape this summer. And I think the hard part for me was that he is a 13-year-old boy or 12-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I can't put myself in this 12-year-old boy's shoes. I was like, I'm 30. It's hard for me
I'm a 30-year-old woman
be here. and especially with Logan Lerman, like obviously him and Alexandra Daddario were like low 20s when they made that movie.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to see that an actual 14-year-old and like actual like 14, 15 year olds are playing the characters.
It's so refreshing. And yeah. Rick Riordan is like such a major part of that. He's like producer, like writer, like he's doing all of it. So he's like very involved. And David is now rereading Percy Jackson again because he's like, the last thing I really think of, like the first thing I think about when I think of these is now like the movies, which is annoying. So he is like watching the show and reading the book at the same time. And he's like, they're going pretty much by the book. There's like a couple of things that they have to leave out because like they just can't do, like they can't use the book as a script basically. Have to do, wish they would. But he's like, they're going really by the book, that I appreciate it. So
yeah,
I'm feeling good about it.
Enjoying it.
As long as David approves, that's all good. I care about. That's all I care about. I'm like, okay, so it must be really good. Like, I've read all the books, but it's been a while, and he's just like number one fan. So
yeah. The other show I'm like really into right now is the Godzilla show on Apple TV.
It's a show?
Yeah. It's called Monarch.
Is there a movie? There's a movie coming out though in like April, isn't there?
Yes. And so it's like, because the last one ended where Kong and Godzilla went down into the center of the earth. And that's basically where they like originate from. And so this is now like Kong has to like fight off the evil monkeys, I think. And Godzilla is going to help him. So it's like,
kind of like they're bros now.
A twofer. But the show is about like, because in Godzilla, Monarch is like the government agency that like tracks the Titans. And so this is kind of like how it became to be, and like contrasting like how it started and like where it is today, and kind of the family that's been the thread throughout. So very fun.
That's fun.
But they also just Godzilla Minus One just came out in theaters, which is not from the same Godzilla movies that are out now. This was like a Japanese release that was completely separate to the recent ones, and apparently it's one of the best films of the year, so I have to see it.
You really took it apart. You took it as a personal attack that you did not know that there was a new Godzilla movie coming out, and so you took it upon yourself to know every piece of recent Godzilla lore.
I did because someone, you were the one who was like, isn't there a new one coming out? I said, I would know, I would certainly know, and I didn't know. So now I know.
You were like so unlike me to not know this. And so you just came in with the fact, you were like, there's a show and a movie and another movie, and I'll tell you all about them. Because that was a personal affront to you that you didn't know.
Yeah, but I highly recommend watching. It's really well done.
Okay. That sounds fun.
And it's fun. So that's kind of what I'm keeping up with right now. And then if you also have time, I really loved Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime. It's two seasons right now and very fun fantasy.
Okay. I think I'm a little fantasied out. Like, I think I need to, until Crescent City 3 is out, like, I think I need to keep my, like, fantasy brain in the Sarah J. Maas worlds. Just, I can't confuse them. You know how I get when I'm reading too many of the fantasy books at once, I start like overlapping plot lines and I'm like, didn't this happen? And you're like, no, that was that other series. So I need to just like keep it focused. But that does sound fun. Maybe I'll do that.
Add it to your watch
list. Down the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't watched SVU in a while, so I think I need to get back into that. It's been
perfect.
In a bit. I took a break. Nick was saying it was depressing him too much. So I took a break and I like caught up on the Kardashians. And now I feel like it's my time. And I can fill my time with however I want to. And if that is SVU, that's what I'm going to do.
So true. You're so right.
Well, before we hang up, I guess, we talked a little bit about our 2024, like, vision for ourselves, which is just like embracing things. But what else are you, do you have any other resolutions or anything that you're like really hoping for yourself this year?
Yeah, I am saying no to more things. Like, I'm not trying to overextend myself. I think I have a habit of saying yes to a lot of people because I love them so much. And last year I felt like every single day of my week was like filled with activities.
Yeah.
And while I had a lot of fun, it was too much for me. So now I'm trying to be like, very organized with my time scheduling to be like, all right, I want things in the calendar. Like, I hate to be that person who like has to schedule things, but I want to be like, all right, I want us to have dinner plans that are really regular. Like, I want to be able to count on these times so that I can have some freedom around to be able to do things. So I think that's a number one priority for me. And then similar to yours is just kind of like embracing the fun side of life and like doing more hobbies, trying more fun things. And really just figuring out like what I like to do outside of work.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I'm similar. I don't have the problem with saying yes to too many things because I live on Cape Cod, so there's not really a lot to do. However, I do want to spend more weekends at home. I feel like my weeks are usually pretty nothing because no one lives here. But my weekends are usually full of like trips or going to see people or doing things. And like, I want to be conscious and cognizant of like being home and just like having a weekend where, cause like for me now, I don't know, every day is a weekend, I guess. So it's like easy for me to like do my things, but like Nick only has the weekend. So like, I want to be conscious, especially as like we just got married. Like, we should like be prioritizing doing stuff together and like using his free time to like not just go, but like do things together. So I'm trying to do that. Yeah, I think just like being like intentional with my time and what I'm doing and doing things that make me happy. And like, if things aren't serving me or making me happy, then like figuring out a different way to spend my time or thing to do or how to do that. And like, obviously sometimes like you can't just not do the things that you don't like to do because sometimes they're like necessary, but figuring out a way to make it more enjoyable or like a different way to do what I'm doing. I want to be like continue to be pretty consistent with working out, not for aesthetics but more for just like feeling good and like finding things that I enjoy to do that are active. And I think I want to be I want to like very much focus on the relationships I have. I also like sometimes I'm like, I'd want to just like make all these new friends and I want to do all these new things. But I think I just want to like really not similar to you, not overextend myself in terms of how many people I talk to all the time. But like the people that I do talk to all the time that are like some of my closest friends, like really nurture those relationships. Because I also feel like sometimes because I do have such a wide network of people that I care about, I can never really give anyone 100% of myself because I'm like here and there and everywhere. And I feel like I want to be very like mindful of the people that are in my life that I'm really close to and just like really foster those relationships and make sure I'm like putting like the time and energy that they deserve into it. So
I know. I think one of my goals too is to – I want to get back to cooking. I feel like
I want you to get back to cooking too.
I took such a break and I'm just like I miss it. So I spent New Year's Day cooking a short rib ragu all day. Very lovely. So I'm trying to like try a recipe again and challenge myself in the kitchen because it's something that I enjoy. So
I love that for you. You're so good at it too.
Yeah, I miss it. I miss like feel like I'm out of practice. So
well, you can take a night at the summit.
At the summit and do some cooking. Okay, perfect.
You can cook for all of us. Maybe a paella.
Ooh, could be fun.
That could be fun. Nights. I know. That's all, like it could be really fun. Like find like do something that feeds a lot of people that you've been like wanting to try or like do again.
Yeah.
And we can do that. I'll sous chef.
Okay, I'll be your sous.
Behind. Yes, chef.
Heard, chef.
Thank you, chef. Anyways, this was fun. This was good. This was needed. Needed to just check in.
I know.
We needed to check in and just like align ourselves. New year. I don't think we'll have – we're not coming back to like regular weekly podcasts yet. Like I think – we're hoping to do – well, not hoping. That's – I also, in 2024, want to use more strong language and not just say I'm hoping to do things. And if I say it, then I want to mean it. Nicole and I will be doing our Sarah J. Maas episodes.
Yeah.
Prior to
the book release.
The book release. So we will be doing an episode on A Court of Thorns and Roses and that whole series. We'll be doing an episode on Throne of Glass, that whole series, and an episode on the Crescent City series. And then we'll be doing an episode on Sarah J. Maas as a whole and her universe that is her brain. And we'll be doing that where we'll kind of, you know, talk about everything. So if you've only read one of the series, you can read, you can listen to that episode there. Like, so there's no spoilers. If you, you know, haven't read one of them, then just don't listen to that episode because we'll do spoilers in those if you haven't read it. So you can kind of pick and choose and no one has to kind of skip around to different segments of one episode. So you don't get anything spoiled for you, but be fun. We're going to hopefully have some guests on to share their thoughts and their theories. And then probably sometime in February, we'll come back with your regularly scheduled programming with potentially some hints of new things.
Yeah. Once the car launches come back, like, I feel like we're going to start picking things up in February and we'll have all of the gossip for you.
Yeah. So, you know, until then, we'll see you on the internet.
We'll see you on the internet.
Bye.
Bye.